Welcome to the What's Percolating teleconference, discussing the latest in heartfelt mind, body, and spirit for peace, passion, and prosperity. Now here are your hosts, Gary Kobat and Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
It's a beautiful day in Southern California. This is Gary Kobat.
And it's still snowing here in Maine. It's Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, and it's looking at the weather. It's supposed to still snow all the way till tomorrow. So whatever, it's all good, and we're just watching it pile up, and yeah.
I love it. I even checked in on AccuWeather, and it says it's supposed to snow till 9 near you, and you're getting 8 to 12 inches, so I don't know what's
there now.
But
it's all just coming down. Just looking at it going, yeah, I'm glad I'm not out in it, and whatever. But
it's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. It's powdery, not heavy. I went out, and it's all over the trees, and just it's gorgeous. It'll be a very beautiful picture in the morning.
What an amazing day. What an amazing 2 days. I want to thank you for the opportunity to share and to be a part of this and to be involved with such great masters of their own craft. And we had a slight, hiccup on the last show and schedule mix-up. And so someone in the chat room, you reached out and said, hey, do you want to talk? And it ended up being a client I've worked with over the last year who's lost 70 pounds named Julie. So if you ever have anybody in your life that needs to really rebalance their life or their health or even major weight loss, you might want to share the show with them because Julie just speaks from her heart and tells us how she did it. And I just thought that was awesome. That was in God's hands for us then.
It was a very proud moment for her, too, I think, because you said it was one of her way far-out goals to be on a – what was it, to be on a show and share her story?
And before her, Mitch Gaylord, the 84 Olympic gold medal winner, the first person with a perfect 10 in men's gymnastics, was on before her, and he talks about having this vision when he was a kid – about the moment it shifted in his life that he really knew he wanted to go to the Olympics was as a young boy seeing the torch and the flame being lit up at the stadium. Well, and fast forward, he gets a gold medal in the Olympics. So he just manifested that. Well, Julie manifested the same thing. 6 months ago, we were working on her next level goals, and she just said, I want to influence people to let them know they're capable of losing big amounts of weight, and that they can, even if they can't run, they can still do a marathon. And she put that in her goals. And then what's now, 6 months later, she's on with us. It was awesome. Manifested
she went
that.
She went from a size 18 to a 6.
Tell me what that means to you, because I don't wear an 18 and I don't wear a 6, and I don't know what that means.
Well, it means that's a whole lot of sizes. And women's clothing, you go up into, I don't know what they call it, petite, and then just clothes, and then women's clothes. And like 12 and 14 is considered, women's clothing. And so an 18 is a little bit bigger than that. And a 6 is, almost teenager style, She's probably shopping the teen department. I'm not quite sure. It's cool.
So that feels good.
It's great, yes. And it doesn't matter what size you are, really, or how you look, or whatever. It's her heart and how she's feeling and her health and everything. You could hear it in her voice. She just she lights up. So it was a great story, and this was great. And I go ahead. I can hear you.
Well, no. I just wanted to share too another magical moment, because on each one of our shows, there's been these magical moments. I mean, remember last night's late night version, Kevin Sorbo, wanting to play golf with Marilyn Monroe. When we asked him if he could pick whoever he wanted, he had Abe Lincoln and Marilyn Monroe. That was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And who knew, right? And his own people wrote back and said, wow, I didn't know some of these things about Kevin, and that was great to find out, too. So every show has got these moments. But for Julie, so much anxiety inside that it's been challenging for her to speak in full sentences. So to hear her put some sentences together and be comfortable in someone she didn't know, yourself, and then being in an on-air situation. I just thought that was phenomenal. It was so great.
It was really the next level
for her. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm curious if Blog Talk Radio will take a show like that and sponsor it, and it's probably going to get featured and go viral or something. It's funny how that works, but thank you to Blog Talk Radio for everything that they've done for us since we had this idea, I don't know how many months ago it was, and approached them and said, hey, can you get behind us and help? It's an idea, and we don't know how it's all going to work out, but can you just stay steadily behind us? And they did, and they opened up their technology and shifted things around so we could do 5 shows a day and have a chat room and all these amazing things. And so we're really thankful to everybody at Blog Talk Radio for their support and love with everything that we're trying to do here. And another sponsor is iCoffee. And I just love this story, and I just posted a picture in Facebook. Gary, our people are so the best. The iCoffee sponsored on the 2014 Consumer Reports hot list of the 233 best products. Bam, right on the cover.
Really?
I love it. Yeah, I just posted a picture
in
Facebook.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, so cool. And so it's Remington behind iCoffee. They're at iCoffee.com. And everybody who registers for our teleconference is entered to win. We're going to be giving away 1 iCoffee. And just to tell you a little bit about iCoffee, they're the first new coffee brewing technology in over 50 years, according to inventor Bruce Burroughs, who must be a really smart guy. I'd love to interview him, actually. iCoffee took 7 years and over 1,257 prototypes to perfect. And they introduced their patented steam brew technology, making it the first coffee brewer ever to utilize steam jets inside the coffee brew basket. And so the steam brew jets first pre-steam the coffee and then stir the coffee throughout the brewing process. If you guys are coffee people, this is a big deal. So each of the coffee grounds is completely suspended and surrounded by hot water at a really high temperature. So it makes it strong and hot and all these cool things. So they're available. iCoffees, you can get them at iCoffee.com. They're in retail locations, chain stores, home shopping network, and more. So we thank everybody at iCoffee for being totally cool. They sent me a sample. We've used it today and yesterday, and it is on the show with Mitch Gaylord, we called it the, you know, like Olympic gold medal winner of coffee makers. So I'm going with that. It's accurate. So that's iCoffee.
And Revive. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I need to find that email so I can talk about that. But there, you want to talk about them there at Drink Re?
Yeah, it's R-E. And it's 21 fruits and antioxidants, and it's not one of these energy drinks with the high-blown caffeine and give you the jitters and so forth, nothing whatsoever. It's just full of antioxidants and fruit, and it's awesome. Gives you a little pick-me-up, and you can switch off from Re and your iCoffee.
Exactly, and Re is drinkre.com. They're Revive and Revitalize. They're at Sprouts, Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, or Lifetime Fitness. And they're made from 100% pure juice and puree, and they're packed with fruit, like you said, antioxidants, and there's no, it's not an energy drink that you think of where you wouldn't want your kids to drink it or something like that because there's caffeine in it. It's not like that at all. So opposite, and 21 superfruits, and those are listed on their website at drinkre.com. So, all right.
Elizabeth, tell us who we've got.
We did it. What'd you say?
I said, tell us who we've got this afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. And now to our guest. We have Lauren Galley with us. She is in Facebook. Joe Schoolcraft has called her a superstar. I love that. So, hi, Joe. I can see you in our chat room. And Lauren Galley is the founder of Girls Above Society. You can go to girlsabovesociety.org. And here's the difference about Lauren Galley compared to all of our other speakers. A lot of us are in our 40s, 50s, 70s. Lauren's 19, and she's going to hang on the phone with us for an hour. I encountered Lauren, I don't know how many, maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, and every once in a while you just encounter these amazing teenagers who are doing these things that you could only hope to be doing when you're 40 or 50 or whatever, and she's doing them now, and she's 18 or 19. Amazing. So, Lauren, are you with us in there? And hello, hello.
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being with us. Yeah.
Tell me about Girls Above Society. What can you tell me about it so that I can understand it a little bit more?
Girls Above Society is a nonprofit organization I created a couple of years ago, and it promotes self-confidence and leadership skills in young girls. So I give what I call Girl Talks, which is where I speak face-to-face with the girls and in a group setting, and we just talk about the pressures you face. We do activities, and we just gain that peer-to-peer mentorship that I feel is so important. You know, I think all young girls need to have those positive role models, and unfortunately, not all kids are born into a family of positive role models, and in that case, they need to go searching for them. And so, you know, I'm more than happy to be that for these girls and just have someone to talk about those pressures that, you know, I'm still going through the social pressures. You know, I'm still a teenager, so I can say, you know, oh, yeah, I did that last month. I had that issue with a friend, and this is what I did. And it's been great so far, you know, inspiring these young girls to just be self-confident and love themselves, because there's so many social pressures with media and everything these days. It's just unbelievable.
I'm getting a little bit of feedback that we don't have sound. I am sorry. Can everybody hear the show okay now? I can see it. I'm sorry. I'm having a little conversation with the people in the chat room because we didn't have sound for a little bit there. So, guys, you missed the first part of the show. We were recording. I'm not sure why we didn't have sound. I'm going to blame it on the main power flicking going on in my house, maybe. I'm not sure. Our power's one to kind of go on and off. But sorry to interrupt you there.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure we had sound, and now we do. So I think people heard you. Keep going.
Lauren, tell me about what kind of reception are you receiving from your, you know, peers?
Oh, it's been great so far. You know, all the young girls have absolutely loved it. And my peers, you know, the kids that I go to college with and everything, it's funny. Some of my peers, when they hear about it, they go, oh, my gosh, it's so amazing you're doing that. And they totally get it. And they say, I want to do something like that, which is an amazing feeling that I can inspire not only younger girls but, you know, people my age as well. But then you get those kids who I tell them what I do, and they look at me like, why? Why would you want to spend your time doing that? And I just don't understand that question. I'm like, what do you mean? Why would I spend my time helping other people? And so I guess that's just kind of ingrained with me, and that's just something I have. And I wish everyone had that desire to improve the lives of not only their own but others as well, because I think that's what the world really needs.
What kind of forums or format? Yeah, well, go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, where does that come from at such a young age? That's something, you know, we were saying before we started that, you know, sometimes it takes a really long time to learn, if people learn it at all. Where does that come from?
Honestly, I don't really know. It's just always kind of been in me since I was little. I remember being in school, and if there's, you know, the, quote, weird kid or the different one who's sitting quiet in the corner, instead of joining my other peers who maybe make fun of them or ignore them, my first reaction was to be friends with them and help them. So I've always kind of wanted to help others, and I always knew that I wanted to have a nonprofit and do something charitable with my life. And as I grew up in school and as I got older into high school especially, when I realized just how mean girls can be and how many girls really dislike themselves, and it's really sad, and I just told myself, you know, this is something I can really help with because I've been through it, and it's something I'm really passionate about.
Was there an instance or an event that happened that kind of clarified it in your mind that this was needed, or did you watch some circumstance with one of your friends, or how did this really develop?
I would say that, well, first of all, growing up, I wasn't sheltered by any means. My parents wanted to expose me to things so that when I went to school, I knew what everyone was talking about, and I wasn't naive. But at the same time, I had always, my whole life until middle school, been surrounded by really loving and kind people. So I didn't really even realize that there was really mean people out there, that there was girls who were going to be bullies. And it wasn't until I got in middle school, you know, I'm just thinking, oh, everyone's going to be so nice and friendly. And I had an instance with this girl on my cheer team where this was like, you know, back in the day when MySpace was the popular thing, which seems ancient now, but it wasn't all that long ago. And she started cyberbullying me on MySpace, and it was basically slander. You know, she would put my name and write really, really mean and hateful things about me for absolutely no reason. You know, I had never done anything to this girl. And I think it was that moment that I realized girls can be really mean. And that's when it really hit me, and that was the first time I ever experienced anything like that. And that kind of stuck with me. And then as I went to high school, I saw this just happen again and again to so many of my peers. And I realized, you know, this is a serious problem. That was not a one-time thing. This happens every day. And everyone always talks about bullying and, you know, girls having low self-esteem, but nobody wants to do anything about it. They just, a lot of people will sit and say, oh, yeah, that's a problem. And I'm thinking, okay, well, where is the solution? And it was actually one day, I think I literally said something out loud, like, somebody should really do something about that. And then I stopped myself, and I thought, wait a minute, why are you saying somebody should? You know, why don't you be that person who does something? And that's kind of where Girls Above Society just came from, and it just kind of exploded into this huge thing now.
We're on the topic of bullying. Can you help me understand just a little bit more? Is it a very, very specific definition? Because we're hearing it all the time in many different ways. Or is it a broader definition that you called it cyberbullying? Could you help me understand that a little bit from your perspective?
I would certainly agree with you that, you know, I hear the word bullying used all the time in a lot of different ways. And I think that in different situations it can have different meanings, but I feel that it is overused. You know, I'll hear a girl say, oh, she was bullying me because she gave me a weird look in the hallway. And I'm like, maybe she was thinking about something else and accidentally looked at you. You know, that's not bullying. So, you know, there's a lot of different forms of bullying, but I would say if someone is going out of their way to intentionally hurt your feelings, and it's especially if it's happening repeatedly, then that would be what I would consider bullying. And it happens so often. And a lot of times now it is cyberbullying, you know, especially since Facebook, and it's all right in our phones, and, you know, people are getting made fun of over text messages and on Facebook, and websites like Ask.fm, which is an anonymous website where you can anonymously write things to people, which, you know, of course, that opens up a whole other set of issues, because people, you know, a lot of times bullies are the insecure ones, and they don't have a lot of confidence, and they're kind of cowardly, to be honest, so they want to bring others down to make themselves feel better, but they don't have the courage to say something mean to someone's face because they don't want to see their reaction. And it's really easy to get on your computer, especially anonymously, and just type something and hit send. And that gives them satisfaction, and it makes them feel better about themselves. And I feel that the bullies are the ones who really need the help sometimes the most.
Yeah. You know, it's doesn't matter also if it's girls or boys. It seems to be happening sort of widespread regardless of that. And I'm wondering, you made a really good choice right there to do something about it. And so many people make a choice to either ignore it, let it fester, that we're even seeing suicides and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about the seriousness of somebody encountering bullying and perhaps what they should do if they're faced with a situation where they really are starting to not feel well because of it?
It can be very, very serious. No, it's very important to discuss, though, because I feel that a lot of time, because, like I said, the word bullying is a little bit overused, people don't take it as seriously as they should sometimes. You know, I've heard adults a lot of times, they'll say, oh, you know, she's being bullied at school, but that's just kids, you know, boys will be boys, or that's just the way high school goes. And I'm thinking, since when? You know, that should not be the way school goes. You shouldn't have to face that every day. And it's a really lonely feeling, you know, when you feel that someone is making fun of you, and especially if others know about it, and it becomes, or a group is bullying you, it feels like everyone's against you. And it's really hard in that position as a young person to be able to say, well, they're the one with the problem, not me. They're the insecure one. And you might know it in the back of your head, but it still hurts when somebody walks up to you and tells you that you're ugly, or you get a Facebook message that says, go kill yourself, because that's what these kids are doing. You know, that's going to hurt anybody's feelings, regardless of who you are. And that's why it's so, so important for everyone, regardless of what age you are, what gender you are, to have someone who is a role model or a mentor in your life that you can go to and tell them these things. You know, tell them, someone is messaging me this, because especially, you know, if you're under the age of 18 or even if you're above it, you know, you should not have to deal with these things yourself. And it's not, you shouldn't feel guilty for asking for help or like you're not good enough. Because I know a lot of kids say, oh, I can handle the situation. And I think you shouldn't have to. You know, I'm sure maybe you could, but why go through that? You know, your parents can help you. And that's honestly always the best solution. And from what I've noticed, it's the kids who are scared to tell their parents or are afraid to tell teachers, because what if my bully finds out that I ratted her out? You know, she'll say even more things about me, and they keep it to themselves, and it's going to get bottled up to the point it's going to explode. And unfortunately, you know, it might seem like bullying is a small problem when you're young, but it feels like your entire life. And if kids can't see a brighter future and they don't feel that there's light at the end of that tunnel, sometimes they feel that's the only option, is to commit suicide. And it's so sad when you hear about these 10, 11, 12-year-olds. I'm like, you haven't even experienced life yet. You're still so impressionable and just following everyone else, which that's how everyone is at that age. So that's why that support system is just so necessary during those years.
Give us an idea how you support. I mean, do you do chat rooms? Do you do local meetings live? What seems to work best?
I have found that peer-to-peer, face-to-face, is always best. You know, it seems that even if you write something online, something encouraging to someone who's having a hard time, they read it and it makes them feel a little bit better, but then they get 20 other rude messages and your kind message gets lost. But looking someone in the eyes and telling them, you know, you are worthy, these people, they don't even know you, do they? You know, how could they even know you well enough to properly insult you? They're just making things up. And when you say that to someone's face and tell them, you know, you're beautiful, then that's what has the impact. And that's why, you know, my goal would be to just travel as many places as possible and look as many girls in the eye and tell them that, because those are the moments they're going to remember, and that's the moment they're going to look back on, not the message you send them. Even though online reaches so many people, and I do as much as I can online as well, because, you know, you can never do too much, but it's really that face-to-face that seems to just make those lasting memories.
Yeah. We have a caller who would like to ask
awesome.
You a question. And so caller from the 567 area code. Hello and welcome. Thank
Hello.
You for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
I just
Hi,
have,
would you like
kind of a...
Sure.
Yeah. I just, what, like, a big thing right now is, like, what parents, I work with a lot of, like, nonprofits, and, like, a lot of times the questions are, what can parents of, like, young children do about school bullying? I guess it's like kind of my question.
What can parents do about it?
Yeah, because yes. I think that, like, a lot of, like, parents are so lost in this. They're, like, creating these Facebook pages about support groups because their school won't do anything about school bullying. But, like, what can parents do, like, kind of at home and the school to do against
it? I feel that it always starts at home as the best and easiest place to start. So I would definitely encourage parents to have those open conversations with your kid. You know, I know that a lot of parents, they work all day. They come home, they cook dinner, they go to sleep, and they're really stressed out, and they're more worried about finances and all of those stresses, that it's easy to forget to sit down with your kid and just talk to them about their friends and their school day, because what seems insignificant to you is not insignificant to them. It's really important to them. And I hear parents all the time say, oh, how was your day? And their kid goes, oh, it was good. And they're like, oh, that's good. What do you want for
what
dinner?
Happened?
And that's
Nothing.
The end of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I think
I
that parents...
Love... Oh, go ahead. Sorry. I'd love to chime
no.
in. Sorry.
No,
I
it's
didn't
okay.
mean to interrupt you, though.
No, you're okay. You're okay. I was just going to say that it's important for parents to ask specific questions. You know, who are your friends? What did Johnny say today? Or how was this class? And to really get that trust so that they can come to you with bullying or whatever else is going on with them.
Yeah. And to the caller who called in with such a great question and getting that parent involvement, I'm a parent of four teenage boys. They're 12, 14, 16, and 18. And back that up to when Facebook came about. They said, Mom, I want to be on Facebook or MySpace or these things. And I had to quickly get a clue as to what those were. And then the rule in our house was, you can be on that, but guess what? Until you're 18 and maybe even beyond, depending on how your behavior is, I've got the passwords. and I'm looking at what you're doing online, and I'm looking at what the other people are doing online and things like that. So you as a parent, it's so important to become clued in to what your kids are doing and become involved and immersed in their world. As a 44-year-old person, it's sort of the equivalent back when we were kids of the TV and knowing the TV programs people were watching or whatever. And now it's, what are you watching on YouTube? What are you doing on Facebook? What are you Snapchatting? What are you doing on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of these things. And as a parent, it's so important to get a grip on it and come to the kids' level of involvement, because you know I'll go on for just a minute here, but I can remember my kiddos going to football games in high school. And when we were in high school, this is going to date us here a little bit, but when you needed a ride home, you put a quarter or a dime or whatever in a payphone and called home. Well, now the kids call from their cell phone or text, and you know I had to learn as a parent what texting was. I had to get a phone to text back and forth. You know, my kids text me from college, and you know, all these things. They even text me from the basement to ask when dinner's ready, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, but it's, I think as a parent, it's so important to ask those questions. Who are your friends? What are you doing? Are you being bullied? Are you okay? Are you bullying somebody? Are you upset? You know, all those questions and clues are grades slipping, not wanting to go to school, not eating, oversleep. You know, there's clues, Lauren, aren't there? And the caller, what are the clues that somebody's not feeling so great at school?
There's a lot of many.
Go ahead, both of you can talk. Even I just chime back
go
and
ahead,
forth. It's all good.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, there's a lot of things you can look for, really any big change in them. You know, if they loved school and all of a sudden they don't want to go, well, that's a big indicator. But if your child's never wanted to go to school, then maybe that's just who they are. You know, you have to look for those things, or sleep pattern, or are they on their cell phone a lot, or do they look sad when they look at their phone? You know, little things like that can really be indicators, because I remember when I was experienced the whole cyberbullying thing in middle school, I remember telling my mom, I don't really want to go to cheer practice today, and that was like the one thing I loved doing. And my mom was like, wait a minute, why? You know, she saw that that was weird, and she got it out of me that something was going on. So you have to really pay attention to those little indicators and not let that just slip by.
Mm-hmm.
We call that being present.
Yes.
Being there, fully there, not distracted, being fully there.
Lauren, what'd your mom do to help you? You know, because there's this one school of thought that says, well, you're going to make it worse for me if I tell anybody. Oh, please don't do that, you know.
Right.
What did your mom do?
Well, I remember at first I was like, if I tell you this, you can't freak out. You can't call the school because, you know,
my mom
is that person. She wants to fix things. Something's wrong. You know, she's like, let's fix it. And I love her for that, and I knew she was going to be that way. But I'm like, I really need you to just not call anyone when I tell you this. And I told her what was going on, and she talked to me about it personally. And, you know, well, how does that make you feel? Have you tried ignoring it? You know, those types of things. And it basically just came to the point of, if it doesn't stop, then maybe I'll talk to your cheer coach first, because that's not a principal. You know, that's not anything major, but it's the other adult that's directly involved. And, you know, maybe she won't say anything. And if I remember correctly, she did tell my cheer coach what was going on. And the coach even said, oh, I kind of noticed there was some drama there. I kind of could sense it at practice. And she just made sure that in the formation, you know, she kind of kept us separated. And eventually I ignored it, and the girl, got bored because she wasn't getting a reaction out of me, and it kind of just stopped. So that was really a good solution for the problem.
That's a good thing. And going back to the one where the signs of being bullied, and another big sign is a drop in grades. Is that I think that's a big one. If you see a drop in the student's performance in the classroom and kind of feeling down, I think that's a big one.
Yeah. Yep, I completely agree. And you mean like a big? Do you mean a big drop in grades? Like you're an A student going to C's and D's, or do you?
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Like from like A to B and F, and not performing well and not doing your homework, like kind of being like I think that was like a big one. Like I see, like where students being bullied, they're dropping grades, and they're always like oversleeping and not engaging well in the things that they were doing.
Yeah. Now, do you two know each other, Lauren? Do you
yes.
know the call?
Yes.
What's your name and where are you from? I keep calling you caller.
I'm Trey.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it's okay.
I'm Trey. I'm from Lima, Ohio.
And. Do you do a lot with bullying in your school as well?
Yes,
or I don't know.
I own my own nonprofit. I'm 17. I own my own nonprofit, so yeah.
Huh. And Lauren, how did you guys meet?
We connected through Becca Moore, who I do the Think Show with, and I spoke to the girls at her school. She's an assistant principal, and she knows Trey, so we kind of met through a friend, which is really awesome. That's why I love social media so much.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get involved in topics outside of bullying? For instance, again, from my perspective, not necessarily yours, but from our perspective, we get the 17, the 18, the 19-year-old. I'll get the high-level athlete that's going to scholarship and then go pro or something. And there's a whole mindset and there's a whole nutrition, a whole conditioning, a whole health balance, and a whole other side of the personal life, being able to balance that too. And what I find when I work with them is they're so overextended. There's not enough hours in the day to the things they want to do. So there's no free time for them. There's no free time for peace. There's no free time for rest and recovery. Or it's everything's down to the wire. Can you address that, but not from my perspective, from yours? Because you might say, hey, no, we're capable of doing all this. But what are you guys finding out?
Well, that's something that I've kind of dealt with in my personal life, not in terms of sports by any means, but just with everything that I do. When I first started the nonprofit, you know, Girls Above Society, and it really took off quicker than I thought. You know, I almost couldn't keep up with it, if that makes sense. And I hadn't quite figured out the whole scheduling thing yet because I had never been that – I've always been busy and active, but never quite that busy. And at first I was really overwhelmed. I was like, oh, my God, I haven't seen my best friend in, like, 3 weeks. I'm freaking out. And it's hard when it's something you're passionate about, but at the same time, you know, everybody needs their free time. That's just a necessity. And so what I literally do is I plan when I'm going to do nothing. Like, I plan to do nothing at certain times so that I make sure it happens, and I make plans with friends beforehand, and I make sure that, okay, we are going to hang out at this time, and we're going to do this. And that way, because it's too easy to go, oh, well, we'll hang out at some point when I'm free. Well, if you just say that, chances are it's never going to happen. So I figured out that I have to schedule that out, and that's helped me a lot. And that's the advice I give to girls who are really, you know, whether it's sports or activities at school, you know, I really, really encourage young girls to be involved because that will just up your confidence a lot. But at the same time, don't stress yourself out about things that you love because you're doing it because it's fun. And when it stops being fun, that's when you need to fix something or figure out how to make it fun again and less stressful.
So, Lauren, as we're talking here, and Trey and Gary, I am getting inundated with tweets, Facebooks, emails, I mean, you name it, with people hemming on whether to call in and participate in the show because the topic is so touchy. And they're like, I have young girls. Should I call in and participate?
Yes.
I've been bullied. Should I share my story? We just had someone in the chat room share their story of bullying with us. And I think he might call in here, but he is hard of hearing, and kids used to flick his ears and try and pull out his hearing aids. We're all silent. Lauren.
Yes.
Wow.
And at what age was he doing?
I'm just so proud of people sharing their stories with us, and I'm proud of both of you. You're so wise and young to be talking about such a hard topic. If I seem distracted and I'm typing in the background, I'm listening to you, but I'm answering other people trying to participate with the show as well.
So could you revisit, do you suggest handling it, like I call in-house, do you suggest handling it within your group or within your group and those parents before you go anywhere else outside of that, and you try to handle it internally first just to make sure it's qualified or it's at least the truth is there?
Handling bullying, you mean?
Yeah, bullying. In this case, this young man is talking about hard of hearing, and they were making fun of him. So, you know, do you just let it happen? Do you start addressing that, you know, verbally? Do you get the parents involved? I mean, where do you go typically in a conversation like that?
Well, I would definitely say that you do not just let it happen. You know, if it's hurting your feelings, mm-hmm. which of course it's going to if someone makes fun of you,
sure.
you don't do nothing. But I would recommend first to maybe talk to the person. Maybe, because I've had situations with friends where they are kind of poking fun at one of my insecurities and they don't know it's an insecurity. And I tell them, you know, that kind of bothers me or hurts my feelings when you say that. And they go, oh, my gosh, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. Like, I thought I was trying to be funny, like, you know, just kind of playing around with each other. So I always, you know, a lot – I mean, I'm really sensitive as a person, so I know that I take things the wrong way, and I know a lot of other people do as well. So I always encourage girls to maybe feel the other person out and maybe try having just a normal – don't get mad, just have a normal conversation of, you know, that kind of bugs me when you do that. I just want to let you know. I didn't know if you knew how I felt, because communication is so important, and I think the majority of drama – and conflict that happens is caused from miscommunication. But then, of course, if you get a negative response back, or if they're aggressive towards you, or if they obviously are doing it on purpose to be malicious, then, of course, tell someone who can help. Tell your parents, tell someone. And if the behavior continues, that's when an adult really needs to step in. And then, of course, I would recommend at that point ignoring it as well. Don't let them see that it gets to you, because bullies look for a reaction, and if you ignore it or act like it doesn't bug you, they'll probably get bored, which was kind of what happened with my situation. So try that, and also coupled with telling a responsible adult who will do the right actions to help. And, you know, you don't want an adult that's going to go to the bully and say, well, Jessica told me that you're bullying her. You know, you don't want that. You want it to be subtle, just a conversation, and hopefully just stop the problem. And I would say that those are usually the best steps. Of course, every circumstance is different, but I've seen that work several times.
Do schools have I kind of know the answer to this here. I'm just sort of wondering what your experience is with this. Social media policies, it's awfully hard to manage something from school that's not really a school-sanctioned activity. But do your schools have social media policies in place, like you can't post that on Facebook or we're monitoring you outside of this? Or is it all up to the parents or the kids or you know, how we behave?
Personally, my school never had that.
Okay.
No, mine didn't either.
Ours here in Maine kind of do. They're, I don't know.
That's great.
Maybe this group of parents that's watching all the time or something. You know, it's like everybody knows each
other.
That's
very good.
You can't say that on Facebook. Yeah, it's really interesting. And we really don't have, you know, I can't say we don't have any or anything like that, but it doesn't appear to be so epidemic in our schools here in Falmouth, Maine. But again, I'm not seeing every tweet or every Facebook, you know, all those things. But
I
think there needs to be more policies put in place and more social media policies put in place, because whether people know this or not, we're losing young people's life because they're being cyberbullied, or there's no policy in place at the school, or no one's monitoring it, or none of that.
Gary, can you talk about above-the-line behavior and below-the-line behavior and light and dark and all those things? I think this would be such a wonderful break for something like that.
Well, we're human, right? So there's light and there's dark, right? There's going to be this awesome side to themselves that we're hearing from Lauren. This is what drives her. And then, there, but she's also a human, so there's going to be something just a little bit off once in a while, either, you know, mood, insecurity, something that's a little darker inside or has a lower vibration energy. So what we call it is either our right brain or our left brain, our positive or our negative. And we're going down the roadmap of life. We can either make a decision, either right or left, if we were driving. Yeah, you come to a T-cross in a road. You got to go right or you got to go left. It's the same thing on decision to decision to decision, moment to moment to moment. So it's this awareness that we have the power of decision and we have the power of choice. And so to be exposed, or as Lauren is doing, is to share as many ways as possible to become more aware. And to become more of what? And that's just to become aware of things are charged, things have energy. So they're either light or they're dark, they're positive or they're negative. And so drama is negative, anger is negative, you know, bullying is negative, making fun of is negative. And as she says, it comes from an insecurity. So this insecurity is from a not enoughness that she's either getting, he or she are getting at home or through a coach or a teacher or relatives or whatever. They're not being loved, not just being accepted for who they are. And so what she's suggesting is communication. I'm an equal. You don't need to do that. I have feelings. And so she's coming from a very positively charged way of addressing and communicating. But as a human being, we're going to go left, if you will. We're going to go negative. We're going to go dark, or what we call below the line. And we're going to go above the line. It's just the human experience. We're not perfect. So we're not going to be all one, and we're not going to be all the other. But the sooner that the young developing, because we're still developing, you know, in our teens, and we're still developing as young adults, this mind, the mindset of identity, right? This mindset of who am I really? So if you took somebody, and I don't know if you guys are exposed much to drinking or had experience with that was too much or that's, you know, I enjoy it. The bottom line is you do certain things that we are attached to, like too much chocolate or too much pizza at midnight or too much alcohol. You become affected, right? So you become affected by either being wired on chocolate or wired on 5-hour energy or wired on, you know, too much coffee or wired on, you know, alcohol. You're not yourself anymore. You're either numbed, uh-huh. Right? You're numbed or you're wired.
Oh, yeah.
So you become this.
I'm addicted to coffee.
Yeah, so you become Trey, not really Trey, but Trey on coffee or
yeah.
Lauren on something, right, insecurity. So you're not Lauren, you're Lauren on insecurity. So I'm just sitting back going, I'm just absorbing all of this and finding out a way to support or help you. And that would be the sooner we can teach the younger mind what they really are, what they're capable of, what their real possibilities, they're infinite, and they don't even know what they're capable of. So why spend this time, this wasted time on this downer, darker, lower vibration? It'd be like, you know, bless their heart, it'd be like, I don't know, do you guys remember 8-track tapes? I mean, they're so outdated, you probably don't even know they existed, right? But you've heard of them, right?
I know what they are, but I've never, like, had one.
Yeah,
I know, exactly.
I know what they are, Gary. I've
been
in that club. I've seen one once, but...
I know it. Exactly. It's like, oh, here's an 8-track tape. I want you to play my latest DVD. Yeah, my latest CD. I want you to play it on an 8-track tape. And you're like, huh? What? What do I do with this?
Yeah.
It's not valid. It doesn't serve anybody. So it's kind of like empty calories, like a rice cake, you know? It's just filler. It could be positive for maybe some fiber. But other than that, I'm not so sure how nutrient-based it is. So as a food, or is it a fuel? So we're looking at, you know, how can we help you fuel to your positive light self? I don't know if that's what you were looking for, Elizabeth, but...
Well, I was, and I was also sort of looking for the answer or question of, I'm going to go way out there on this one, is bullying really a cry for love, maybe? Like when somebody is bullying,
it's a cry for
attention. Really just... attention. I think Gary and I call it like a flat out cry for love. And I wonder what the world would be if the bully I don't know. That might be way too far out there. What do you think about that, Gary?
Well, it's an emptiness. So they're trying to fill up the emptiness with something. So they're borrowing somebody else's success or energy or visibility, or they're making themselves visibility. We call it significance. So they're trying to be significant because inside they don't feel significant or enough, as Lauren said. And that's, you know, again, where this is coming from. So I love the what is going on, and I love the, you know, what should we do? And I love the attempting to steer them in the right direction through communication or the folks. Maybe a little bit more why. You know, like why is this happening? And I'm not sure how deep you go there, but anything that you can offer on the whys will also help get to solutions quick too.
One of the things is that I think of a victim of bully is I think of them like a car gas tank. They're either empty or they're full. They're looking.
Correct.
They're crying out for. They're crying out for love, and they're looking for acceptance. They're not feeling accepted. And one of the ways is that sometimes they try is trying to fill up their tank to get back to how they felt before they were being bullied.
Right. Perfect. Perfect example. And then it's just honoring. And but why are they empty? Because they're just.
They're,
disconnected.
Go ahead.
from their worthiness.
Oh, exactly.
That's all.
Exactly.
It's just
and
a disconnection.
Exactly. And I think that we need to grasp the concept that words do hurt and words go a long way. I think we're so caught up in thinking that words do not hurt when words, that whatever you call someone, can have a lifetime effect on that person.
Absolutely.
That could be with them forever. And I don't
think
that we understand that enough.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
There's
like
energy on every
there
word.
Forever that people have said. I've been bullied as an adult. I mean, Lauren, you and I have talked about that. I had a whole entire chat anonymous chat room dedicated, I think, to my rear end while I was Mrs. Main. You know, do you remember that, Lauren? I was telling you that when we were on
our
show before. And it wasn't by any means big, especially after having four kids. I mean, goodness gracious, I don't know what more I could possibly do. And it was just like an all-out wage war on everything about me anonymously on the internet while I was Mrs. Main, and it was there were moments of lots of tears and lots of boy, and when something like that happens to you, Lauren, how do you stand on your own two feet, stay grounded, and say I'm awesome, and no matter what anybody says, here I am.
I feel that the most important thing when it comes to bullying is just for everyone to have self-confidence. I feel like it always goes back to that because the bully doesn't have enough self-confidence, and that's why they're tearing other people down. So if they gain self-confidence, then they won't feel the need to be rude to others. And then the victim, the person being bullied, if they're self-confident, of course, it still hurts your feelings when people say mean things about you, but it won't get to them as much, and they'll have the mindset of, oh, the bully, maybe they're just reaching out for a friend or affection, and then they'll feel sorry for the bully, which is, you know, the mindset that I have. So, you know, I always tell the girls that if you're confident, then that's not going to be a problem regardless of who you are in the situation. So that's always the key.
Correct. Compassion for somebody, witnessing somebody else being a human being. They're disconnected, so they feel they have to do these things, and they just need to be reconnected through love. So if you're compassionate towards them, that love or compassion might just be the softness that takes them to their heart again.
There's a lot going on in the chat room here. Joe, I'm actually wondering, Joe, if you could call in. The number is 714-860-220. Deborah, I know you have a cold and are sniffling around, and we appreciate you being with us.
Yeah,
she's vowed to be our chat room warrior. Yeah, big hug to Deborah.
Exactly.
And Deborah says bullies are not good communicators. They're insecure and looking for attention. And Deborah says it all comes back to love, like you guys are saying. And Joe commented that it's either from a lack of love, understanding, or lack of attention from people who are closest to them. They use bullying as a way to channel to anger from lack of attention.
So may I segue
Please.
On that? It's a lack of love from themselves to themselves. Okay, not just from their folks or their other friends or their relatives or their teachers. Okay? Young adults, we're grooming ourselves to be responsible for ourselves. And that means we're responsible to love ourselves first. And the more love we give ourselves, we can share with other people. But the more love we try to borrow from somebody else to feel whole, will become either codependent or it always ends up into these imbalanced situations that you're discussing, up to bullying. So it's the bully needs to love the bully, so they're not a bully any longer. And as your co-human being in life, as equals, we need to show some compassion to them. Obviously, you want to reserve, you know, opinion if it's nasty, you know, if it's egregious, if it's real trespassing. Because all bullying is trespassing. They're saying, I'm coming into your space and I'm going to, you know, get under your skin in any ways I can, when they're responsible for what they think, feel, say, and do. They're not responsible for what you think, feel, say, and do, but they're trying to be.
Does bullying ever stem from, I'm sorry, I can hear myself in the background of somebody's stuff. Does bullying ever stem from role modeling, like parents' role modeling?
It certainly does, and I know that a lot of girls tell me that they get their insecurities maybe from their mom without their mom even realizing it. And the same thing can happen with bullying as well. You know, I think that with, as parents, it's really important to realize that not only are the things that you're saying to your child making an impression on them, but also things that you say around your child and maybe not necessarily to them. Like, I had one girl tell me that her mom always looks in the mirror and says, oh, my gosh, I'm so fat. And the girl said, well, I never really thought about me being overweight ever. And she was probably 11 or 12. And she said, but then I started looking in the mirror and going, well, my mom says that. Am I fat too? And it's just that it's not on purpose. You know, the mom's not wanting to instill these traits into her daughter, but it comes off as secondhand. And also, I've noticed that girls whose moms gossip a lot on the phone around them with their friends, like, oh, my gosh, I heard that Becky cheated on John, and, you know, or they say mean things about their friends behind their backs, you know, on the phone in the car with the daughter next to them, like, oh, well, she's just getting on my nerves, and, you know, she's so clingy, or whatever they're saying. The daughter will pick up on that behavior and think that that's okay. Even if the mom says, oh, don't gossip about your friends, in the back of their mind, they're surrounded by the behavior. And I've noticed that a lot. And, you know, I mean, it's tough as a parent. I mean, I wouldn't know, but obviously, because you have to watch everything you do, not just the things you say to your child, but really everything you say. So it's so important as a parent to be that role model.
To be aware that you have influence over human beings. And then the person that's noticing these things, Lauren, you're so sharp, and that is, that's all they know, is this negative behavior that the mom might be doing. So they go out into the world and do the same and repeat.
Yeah.
And
this,
it's, go ahead.
Well, you just said something. So, you know, the reach and power, you know, the communication to other people and all of that. We have a tweet that just came in from Sydney, Australia, from Shadow MIGASAKI, Paul. Hello, Paul. We can hear you listening. And he tweeted us and said, I'm loving this show that we're having about bullying. All the way from Australia.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Happening everywhere. Yeah, well, but it shows you that it's everywhere.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. And it's a lack of love. We're all saying the same thing, and that is, if there was just a little more compassion for each other as human beings, no matter what the age, and the earlier the better, to understand that, then there wouldn't be such lack. Because every human being is made of love. They're just powerful, loving human beings. They're just disconnected from it. And it's just a reconnection. It's like plugging it back in. It's like the fan, and you kick it inadvertently, and the plug comes out of the wall, or the, you know, plug in, and you just got to plug it back in. That's all bullies need, is plugging it back into the fact that they're loving, deserving, enough. They're enough, just the way they are, and they're not feeling that. And like you said, Lauren, if they're watching behavior and absorbing behavior that's negatively charged, that's all they're going to know.
Yeah.
And that's
and
the
and
same
trade,
way that
trade.
The media, oh, I'm sorry, but I was going to say that that's the same way the media has an effect on young girls as well. You know, I mean, if you watch the Kardashians for 12 hours straight, chances are you're going to start talking like one. So that's why, you know, the media is just almost as big of a factor as the parents, if not more, because it's on their cell phones.
Brian Cuban just retweeted us as well, B. Cuban, B-C-U-B-A-N. He retweeted us, and then also that was Trey Wheeler with us on Twitter. He's Trey Wheeler, W-H-E-L-L-E-R, CEO, and I appreciate you, Trey. I know you just left the conversation here, but we appreciate you calling in and participating with us. And Lauren, we're coming up on the time here for the call. We do have a little bit more room, but I'm curious, and Deborah kind of, I was thinking this also, and Deborah just brought it up again. How brutal is gossip?
Gossip is very malicious, and it's kind of like a snowball effect to where the person who started it can even have a hard time reining it back in once it gets started. And I always refer back to the movie Mean Girls when I talk about gossip, because as outrageous as that movie is in a lot of ways, and you think, oh, school's nothing like that, well, in a much more subtle way, it really is, the way the gossip goes around the school and the way it ruins friendships and miscommunication. And it can really, I mean, I don't want to say ruin lives, but it can ruin someone's school year. You know, that's certainly for sure. And
yep.
So I always tell girls that the best way to avoid gossip is just to completely avoid it. You know, what I do, even if one of my friends comes up to me and tells me some gossip that I'm thinking in my head, oh, my gosh, this is so juicy, I want to tell someone, I just don't, you know. Or I go home and maybe I tell my mom because she doesn't know my friends at school. You know, she probably doesn't know who I'm talking about. And even if she does, I mean, is my mom going to say anything? Of course not. Or maybe I write it in a journal or whatever you need to do if you feel like you have to get it out of you, because I know some people have a really hard time keeping secrets like that. Like, tell your dog, or, you know, just say it to someone that you know is not going to repeat it. And don't be a part of that chain, because it's going to come back to you. And even if you felt like you were an innocent bystander, all of a sudden you're in this world of confusion, and it's just, it's awful.
May I ask, is your definition of gossip, is that true?
Yeah.
Is gossip true or is gossip false? What is your take on that?
I think it can be either. I mean, I've heard gossip that, you know, it does end up being true, but it's kind of like the game Telephone. I think that it usually starts with something true or very, very close to the truth. But, you know, whenever you're telling gossip to someone else, you want it to sound as exciting as possible because you want to be the person with all the news. So you might, you know, kind of elaborate on one part or exaggerate the situation, and then the next person does the same. And pretty soon, the original story is John broke up with Becky, and then it's, oh, my God, they had a screaming match, and Becky slapped him. And really, that didn't happen, but it just sounds better. So, and, of course, sometimes people just say flat-out lies, like rumors. But I think most of the time gossip branches from something true that happened. But, you know, just like the game Telephone, it ends up being something completely different from what it originally started as.
What's your take on texting?
Texting?
Yeah.
Just in general?
Yeah.
I mean, I think texting is a good thing in a lot of ways. It's helped me keep in touch with a lot of people that I may not be able to otherwise, especially since I have such a busy schedule. But I think a lot of times it replaces friendships and it replaces face-to-face interaction. And girls have boyfriends that are, quote, boyfriends, you know, like 13-year-old girls that they've spoken to twice in person, but they've texted 5,000 times. And I'm thinking that's not a real relationship. So I just hope that texting does not get to, or just media in general, doesn't get to the point where it replaces face-to-face interaction, because that's what's really important. That's when you make those memories and learn those lessons, is from that. As opposed to texting, you know, it's kind of like anything's good in moderation. I feel like that kind of applies to texting and all social media as well. As long as it's not your life, there's something wrong with it.
Lauren, can we run a little bit long? Do you care?
Yes.
Do you have to go?
No.
What
no,
about
I'm
you,
fine.
Gary? Do you have to go?
I'm good.
Okay. Lauren, what's gossip look like these days? Is gossip, like when I was a kid, it was like, oh, my God, she slept with him, or she got drunk at that party, or they kissed, or, blah, blah, blah. Is is that the kind of gossip that's still going on, or what do kids face today as far as gossip? Just so we as parents know what's happening.
It's the same type of topics that you just said, but I think also a lot of times, from my experience, as well as I'm sure a lot of other people my age, it seems that relationships, everybody's obsessed with other people's relationships. You know, oh, they started dating, or they broke up. Why did they break up? Has she talked to him? And it has nothing to do with them. You know, you might be friends with the people, but it's not their business. But I feel that everything is put on social media these days, where people feel like other people's drama is their business. And, you know, so the best way to avoid that gossip is just don't answer the questions. Don't talk about what other people could possibly be saying, because you really have no idea, so there's no point in talking about it. And just let people deal with those types of things themselves. And then if they come to you and confide in you, that's one thing. But I've heard conversations with people, oh, I wonder if she's mad. Oh, you should check her Twitter. And she might have tweeted a quote, oh, that's definitely about him. And I'm thinking, you're making a situation out of nothing. And that happens a lot of the time. And, you know, like I said, that just snowballs into this whole story that the original person is going, when did that happen? That's not true. But I don't think people usually do it maliciously. It's just kind of fun to talk about other people when they're not around. So I think that, you know, most of the time it starts out innocent, but it ends up being bigger than they meant for it to be.
Yeah. And we had an instance with this with one of our kids where a young lady was sending some very interesting photos of herself. And And my son said, Mom, what do I do? And I was like, oh, thank God you came to me and asked me. We do nothing with that photo. We don't forward it. We don't do anything, and we have a mom to call. And but I'm thinking of the kids who get that photo forwarded all the way around, posted, forwarded, and so forth. That's real, right, in the world we live in?
Definitely. It's very real. And you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Snapchat is a big thing when it comes to, you know, sending inappropriate photos. And by the way, for people listening, especially young people, I know it seems like Snapchat deletes the message as soon as the other person reads it, but it does not. There are so many ways people are jailbreaking their phones and plugging into their computer and saving what you send them on their computer. So don't think that makes it okay or safe, because it doesn't. And, you know, unfortunately, I feel like media, like reality TV and things like that, have an effect on young people when it comes to these topics, because you see stuff like that happen all the time on TV, you know, sending photos or risque messages or, you know, inappropriate things that they would not want getting out there. And that just goes back to the whole idea of thinking before you hit send on anything. But on TV, it's okay, and they have no consequences, so I won't either. And that's why it's so important for kids to realize that what you see on TV is not real. You're in the real world, and you will have very serious consequences from that. And you don't want to be 30 applying for a job thinking, I wish I didn't send that photo when I was 18, you know, because that's ridiculous.
Because it stays out there on the Internet. The things are there, for sure. We have a question from Joe, and it's and I think this is for Lauren. Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you come face-to-face with a problem and most people are ignoring the situation, for example, parents and teachers, how would you try to get your point across without looking like the boy who cried wolf or just desperately seeking attention? You know, when there really is a problem and everybody's ignoring it, how do you tell somebody?
I would certainly make it very clear that this is important to you and explain why, and that just goes back to good communication. You can't just tell someone, I don't like it when you do that, because they might not really understand what you're saying. So you have to say, when you do this, it seems like you are bullying me and it makes me feel really upset, and just be honest with your feelings. And if somebody judges you for feeling that way and laughs at you, then you don't need them in your life. And sometimes that's really hard to understand and hear, but it's true. And, I mean, if your parents don't listen to you, that's why it's so important to try to find those mentors and role models. And I know in high school I had a couple of teachers that I really looked up to, and that, you know, I would feel comfortable confiding in them about things like that. So always have those adults, whether it's an aunt or an uncle or your mom's friend or your coach or tutor, whoever it is, you know, find someone who you can talk to about this stuff, even if they can't call the school and do anything about it. Maybe they can give you some advice from an older generation, you know, someone who's been there, done that. Or maybe they can say, well, this is what I would do. Or, you know, just a word of encouragement even. Like, don't let them get you down is sometimes all you really need. And I also feel that most bullies, if you ignore it, it eventually goes away. Now, that's not to say ignore it and be miserable all the time. But if you have that encouragement, that support system behind you, then it's easier to say, you know what, I'm not going to let your words get me down today. And just don't even have a reaction because they will get bored.
Let's take bullying to the next level where it's dangerous. For example, I was on a food allergy walk, and this is going to go specific to food allergies, but take it to whatever example you want it to. And a parent approached me, and they said, Elizabeth, what should I do? I have a child who has peanut butter allergies, and we're in school. And when my child got up to go get something from another part of the lunchroom, they smeared peanut butter in his sandwich just to see if he was allergic.
Oh, wow.
What do you do? That's huge. It's life-threatening. It's all these things. What do you do if somebody's bullying you to the point where it's very serious, it's life-threatening, your life has been threatened, and so forth? You're being hurt, hit, punched, kicked, shaken
well,
down
my,
for your money, whatever.
My personal opinion is that if anything ever gets to the point of life-threatening, and I feel like even if someone utters the words, I wish you would go kill yourself, or threatens you, like, I will kill you, or does anything that could potentially really seriously physically harm you or take your life, like you said, or anything like that, that's when that's no longer bullying. That's a crime, and that needs to be taken very seriously. And I don't think a lot of kids realize that because they're so – I don't know if it's that they're sheltered from that or they think that because it's on TV that it's okay and there's no consequences for saying that. But I think it's really important for kids to realize that I don't care how old you are, if you're doing something that could threaten someone's life, that's a whole other story. And I really believe that, you know, very serious action needs to be taken there, and that's not something to be taken lightly. And, you know, that goes beyond bullying. That is, you know, very serious, like, tormenting and harassing someone that should have very serious consequences. Because even if you're really young and you do something like that, if I'm 12, if I think back to me at 12, someone said, oh, that kid has a really severe peanut allergy, I know exactly what I'm doing if I make that action. So I think that parents want to push their kids' actions to the side with, oh, she didn't know any better, she's only 13. And I'm thinking, I mean, at 13, I knew a lot more than maybe my parents thought I did, you know. So I think that we need to take it really seriously and, you know, maybe treat younger kids like adults in certain situations. You know, maybe they need that to, instead of having that cushion that, like, high school gives you a lot, you know, actually treat them like these are serious consequences.
Bullying is trespassing. Emotional trespassing.
Yeah, I like it when you say that. It is. It's just
And it's
so
just like, would you come over onto somebody's yard and take their stuff? Would you start robbing their roses and stuff like that? No. Would you take? No. Would you injure? Would you damage? No. Or if you did, the parents would be involved eventually, and there would be boundaries. So what bullying is basically boundaries that we talk about with adults. It's boundaries for younger adults. And they need to learn it just as much as we do. And so the bully has to understand they're trespassing. And the person being trespassed on needs to understand their worthiness. Because, like as Lauren said, when they're confident or worthy, another word for that, they draw a boundary and say, you can't do that. This is not cool. So I don't know what to do with this. This is confusing. And if I knew then what I know now, I would have said something then. But what I know now is that doesn't feel good, and I wish you wouldn't do that. And that's what Lauren's moving towards and suggesting, self-communication. But all that's doing is drawing a boundary. So I love it. And it's just maybe we can also put some of those words like trespassing and boundaries, because as young adults to adults, the sooner we learn about trespassing and boundaries, the sooner we can be self-responsible. And that's what all bullying is about, too.
Well, when you're saying that, I'm thinking of Joe, and I'm thinking of somebody actually going up to Joe and so trespassing that they remove something that he needs to hear with out of his ear.
Yeah,
I just can't. My jaw drops at that one. And Joe, I know you can't talk right now, but you're in the chat room. Can you tell us or share with us, and I'll repeat it, how you solved that? Did you just put up with it, never say anything? Did you tell somebody? What did you do? Because that's
I like Lauren's comment, too.
It's obnoxious, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
But to be vulnerable enough, there's power in vulnerability. So to be honest and vulnerable enough to say, you know what, I don't know if I can do this on my own. I need some support, whether it's Lauren's group or higher up, the parent.
Yeah, and Julie Vick is in the chat room as well saying, yes, Gary, this happens at every stage of life.
I love it. Julie.
Yeah. And Joe says this was the 80s. Things were different. He's 32 now. Are things different, though, Lauren? Somebody might go up and do that to somebody these days. I'm guessing it seems like not, I don't know, has that much changed? It definitely sounds like social media has changed things a lot, but people seem like they're still a little bit disrespectful to one another and trespassing, as Gary says.
I think there will always be those people who will get pleasure out of bringing others down, but it's kind of how everyone else handles them that will change that. And the thing about media that's changed the interaction with young people is that, like I said before, it just makes it really easy to be rude to someone else without feeling like you have to face the consequences. And that's one of the key points, is that kids feel like they don't have any consequences sometimes. I mean, even in school, in high school, I had peers that would get in-school suspension on purpose to get out of taking a test, or because class was boring and they would rather sleep in ISS. And I just could not wrap my head around that. I'm thinking, do your parents not get mad at you? And they're like, oh, no, my mom doesn't care. So when the teacher says, oh, I'm going to call your mom, they're like, okay, please do. You know, there's no consequences. And that's when they feel like they can do anything and say anything to anyone. Unfortunately, a lot of times they revert to mean words and gossip and bullying and, you know, whatever you want to call it. And so I feel like that's how things are changing, is, you know, with technology, society kind of has to follow behind the changes. And it's almost like we're always a step behind trying to keep up.
And here's Joe's response. Joe says he learned to keep to himself, channel it to other avenues. He read books and learned to use their anger against them, but taught himself to read lips and make do without his hearing aids. And he refused hearing aids.
He's not limited by his hearing. He's whole as he is, with or without his hearing. That's what he's saying. I love it.
Yeah. He refused hearing aids because he was sick of kids pulling them out, so he learned how to adapt his hearing issues and just tried to not let them see him get upset or angry, because when they saw him get angry, they'd do it even more. Oh. Joe, let me just tell you who Joe is. Joe's an awesome baseball player. His father, Joe, type in and fill my words here, but his father owns Schoolcraft Baseball in Massachusetts. They teach everybody. Joe, you're a pitcher, aren't you? I can't remember, but I hope you join us for the next call at 11 o'clock at night, too, because we have J.P. Howell from the Dodgers and his beautiful wife, Heather. But type in my words so I can – yeah, he's a former pitcher. So isn't that cool how he didn't let that get him down?
That's amazing.
And just so you know, JP and his wife Heather, in their charity group called Discover Your Path, also deal with kids and their bullying issues. So it's great. Lauren's taught us a lot today. It's so awesome, Lauren. You're
amazing.
So amazing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, really appreciate that. And I'm sure we, as absorbing
go on
what
and on
Lauren's
and
got
on.
To say, we can bring it in to JP's and with Heather, too, tonight, just later
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. So many people on Twitter, thank you all. I know you can hear us, and we send our love to you. I can't read everybody's Twitter accounts off, but you've retweeted us and participated, and we thank you. And Joe, just to clarify, Joe's a former pitcher, and he's an AAU coach in Massachusetts for 14-year-old kids. And he's taught Cam a bunch of things, too, and he's just a great guy. And Deborah Oakland adds, what a great lineup of speakers this week.
Deborah's awesome.
Yeah, I hope you feel better, Deborah. Lauren,
yeah.
You are amazing. I just want you to know that.
Thank you. Oh, thank
she
you
is.
So much.
Oh.
Wise soul.
Isn't she?
What y'all are doing with this conference is so amazing. I mean, there's just so many inspiring people. I'm just honored to be included among them. So thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been amazing.
I want to
can
thank
you
Elizabeth.
Your mom
she said
me?
we've got to have Lauren.
Oh,
gosh, Elizabeth
I insisted. I'm like, we got to have Lauren. And,
oh, you're so
and
sweet.
And I'm like, Lauren, come on, help me. Fill me in. And
yeah,
I was like, wow,
funny.
Lauren, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I got
well,
it now.
And just so you know, Lauren, I don't think Gary knew how old you were until today. And Lauren, you really are by far the youngest conference participant we've had. And I just applaud you for being such a brave, cool soul. I don't know what the words are for you yet, but you're just awesome. So
we all are
inspiring.
Pretty awesome too. So thanks.
I just think it's cool when you can be so young and reach an entire age group of everybody. I think it's pretty neat because everything you're saying applies to all of us at all of our different ages.
Really
Lauren,
does.
What's next? Give us a little nugget. What's next? What do you see? Not necessarily what you're going to do tomorrow, but what do you see for this? Just give us a quick little vision.
Well, I would love to see Girls Above Society go as globally as possible. You know, like I said, I just want to meet as many young girls as I can and speak to them face-to-face and give them that mentorship and that moment of someone looking in their eyes and saying, you're not alone, because not everyone has that. And I'm also going to start on my second book very soon, so everyone can keep a lookout for that. And I'm just going to keep chugging along and doing what I'm doing.
Can you tell us, let's go through everything about you really quick. What's your book? Your latest book is called What, and where can people find it? I'm sorry. I didn't talk about that at all.
Oh, it's okay. It's called Steps to Success and Empowerment Guide, and it's on Amazon, but you can also go to my website, girlsabovesociety.org, if you would like an autographed copy. That's where you should order it from.
Okay. And then you're on the Huffington Post. I saw that. Tell us just a little bit more about where you are and what you're doing.
Yes, I write for the Huffington Post. I update my blog about every week, and you can get there from my website as well. Pretty much everything is on girlsabovesociety.org. It's got Girl Power, which is an online magazine that's monthly, that we just got an amazing new editor, Cameron Chambly. So I'm very proud of that. And that was a new editor for this year, so there's only been a couple issues released so far with the new editor. It's awesome. And all the resources, my YouTube channel, everything is really just through the website, girlsabovesociety.org. And there's a lot of just girl power to be spread on there for all young girls. It's perfect.
Yeah, and Teen Vogue and Fox News. And we have you on Best Ever You as our chief teen advisor. That was really, that's been so much fun to do that with you and learn and connect and just it's an honor having you on the website. Thank you so much for all that you do for Best Ever You.
Oh, thank you for including me. I mean, it's an amazing cause, and I feel like people that have similar views on life and similar goals need to team together and create awesomeness. So.
I love it.
Yeah, Deborah
Very
Oakland
good.
Said, wow, imagine Lauren in 10 years.
Exactly.
I love it.
We'll still have another interview. So you'll find out.
Exactly. Awesome job.
All right.
Way to go, Lauren.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Lauren. Carrie, isn't she amazing?
The best. Awesome. Yeah, very good. Oh, I have so many ideas. We'll talk off air. But
there's so many things to do. Yeah, I hope the show touches lives and saves lives and gets people talking in their community about bullying, because it's a really serious situation.
No, I got into it. I got fired up there. I'm like, all right, this is, I got it now. No, I feel it. I needed to hear from what's going on. And, no, we can all help. No, we can help.
Good. Okay. All right. Next up, 11 o'clock tonight,
yeah.
We have Heather Howell.
Wait. Best ever you late night. Move
oh, yeah.
over
Sorry.
David
best
Letterman.
Late night.
Move over David Letterman.
Yeah.
There's a
Jimmy
new
Fallon
kid in,
and whole bit.
New kids
yeah.
in town. There's new kids in town.
Funny. We have two really neat guests, and maybe you could just tell a little bit about them before we go. We have Heather Howell and then J.P. Howell.
So you got two world-class athletes with just the driven, like Mitch Gaylord, driven to be their best, with challenges in their life that just took them down, and they just refired themselves back up to the top again. And that's going to be interesting to talk about. So talk about courage, talk about patience, talk about reconstructing your body to get it to do it again at a higher level and to do it a little wiser. That's what they're going to talk about. And then they're going to talk about their missions. Mm-hmm.
Will they be an open book for us to ask questions to? Are they?
Oh, absolutely
you know, they,
not. It's just going to be name, rank, and serial number. That's all you're going to get out of them.
No. Now, just for everybody listening, I hope you come up with some great questions for them because I just have this feeling it's just going to be such a cool conversation. About
it's
what,
awesome.
You know,
they're like so they're 30. They're 30 years old. They're at the top of their game. JP just finished last season with the Dodgers at his career best. And signed a new two-year deal with an option for the Dodgers. And Heather is a CBS reporter and world-class athlete as well. And she's taken her whole vision to another level with Discover Your Path. So it's a group that just helped youngsters and anybody, but mostly youngsters, get on a path, despite, as in Lauren was saying, whatever's going on at home, whatever their economic condition is. So it's a beautiful program they have, too.
Yeah, and we cannot leave out their dog. I'm sorry, but I'm required to mention this dog. I have to. It's part
Rosie,
of the family.
Rosie the dog. She's beautiful. She keeps
we'll get a big wolf and, from her or something. We need something from the dog.
Well,
high
Rosie
five.
Runs the household. Rosie runs the household,
of course.
You know.
They all do. Dogs. And secretly the cats take over, but nobody says anything about that. All right.
Exactly.
All
right.
So we'll
good.
Be
Looking
back at 11
that.
O'clock. Thank you, and thank you, Lauren, for everything. And Lauren's on Twitter,
yeah.
Lauren M. Galley, G-A-L-L-E-Y. Girlsabovesociety.org is her website, and we thank you very much for everybody's time. Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
All right, see you tonight.
Thank you for listening to the What's Percolating teleconference on Blog Talk Radio. Please visit us at besteveryou.com for more ways to percolate and create your best life.